I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. And while you are finding Ephesians, I just want to, if you would allow me, I think this is sets up the message this morning, this evening. Sing with me any way you bless me, Lord. Any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way will I be satisfied. And any way you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied. Any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way you will I be satisfied. And any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. Will amazing grace, how sweet in it the sound that saved a race like me. Oh Lord, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And any way you bless me, Lord, well I'll be satisfied. Well, any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. In any way you bless me, Lord, will I be satisfied. And any way you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us all spiritual blessings, heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I want you to notice that that is one sentence. That is one sentence. Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians, enumerated to them all of the spiritual blessings that they were to have in Christ. And I want us to consider tonight how blessed we are. How blessed we are. The great American miser, Hetty Green. A miser is someone who has money, but lives in such a way to save and hoard money. They called her the great American miser because she ate cold oatmeal because it costs to heat it. Her son had his leg amputated because she delayed so long looking for a free clinic. When she died in 1916, she left an estate estimated to be valued at over $100 million. I know, to me, it is unimaginable to consider being so rich and living so poorly. But before we cast our imaginary stones, we should consider our own miserly condition. Many times we have lived, and sometimes we are living as spiritual paupers, misers, refusing to use the blessings and resources given to us freely by God, choosing the pleasures of sin for a season rather than the high and holy calling of God, starving ourselves from the meat of the word, depriving ourselves from the stream of blessings that flow from the throne of grace because we refuse, or we are rather too busy, to ask God for help in our times of need. But tonight I want to just remind us of how blessed we are. If you never have a $100 million estate, you're blessed. If you never get that mink coat, I'm talking about genuine, you still blessed. If you never get that house in that secluded, gated neighborhood, I want you to know you're still blessed. And I want us to see that these blessings are for us all. We're talking about cultivating unity, but we need to understand that if you are a child of God, these blessings are ours to enjoy. I want you to just notice now, as we looked at this particular passage, I want you to see all of these first person plural pronouns. In verse number 3, he says, "Our Lord who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. He hath chosen us, and that we should be holy." Verse number 4, he's predestinated us. He has done this for us. In verse number 6, he accepted us, in whom we, verse 7, have redemption. Verse 8, He says he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. And in the dispensation, verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I saw that these blessings belong to each one of us. We are united not just because we look alike, but we've all been blessed the same way by the same God. We all receive these same blessings. So that means whatever I have, you have. Whatever you have, I have. And these blessings that we have are the byproduct of us all being in Christ. Thus, we need to understand who the us is, who the we is, and who is the our. Well, Paul will tell us in verse number 1 when he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Well, I'm so thankful that he just didn't restrict it to the saints at Ephesus, but he also says, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So whether or not I'm in Ephesus, I'm the faithful in Christ Jesus. And those who are faithful in Christ Jesus exclusively receive the blessings that Paul is talking about. Watch now. He tells us that those, he does not mention it, but we can imply that those who are outside of Christ, those who are not saints, those who are not faithful, do not receive the blessings, these spiritual blessings. But I want you to know that although you may not receive these spiritual blessings, I understand that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. And I understand in Matthew 5, 45, that the Lord causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So that lets me know that no matter who you are and where you are, you receive blessings from God. You get your grass watered. You get the physical blessings. And I recognize that we all don't get the same physical blessings. You got a better car than I do. You got greener grass than I have. And that's because you may have done, and I want you to understand that your job and your status and your account has nothing to do with spiritual blessings. You can be broke and have spiritual blessings. You can be homeless and still have spiritual blessings. I know you say, well, that's a bit too far, but I just want you to understand that these spiritual blessings are what we need to prioritize. We all about making that almighty dollar, and we equate that with blessings from God, and we should. You hear me? We should. I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for my car. But even if I don't have those, I got these spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There is not a spiritual blessing that we need that we do not have. So when we look at what Paul enumerates, he at least list at least seven that are enumerated. Now, I know some commentators, they want us to see that seven is the number of completion. And I'm not trying to get all that deep into that, but I just know that there are some spiritual blessings that are enumerated for the child of God. And the first one, he says, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy and without blame before him in love. That first spiritual blessing is that we have been chosen. God chose us. We were not forced upon him. That says God wanted me. God desires to have us. He wants us to know that we are wanted by him. And I know that in this world, there are some folk who care less about you. But I thank God that as a child of his, I have been specially, we have been specially selected and chosen. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it ought to make you feel good. Because there were times when people rejected you, but God chose us. He chose those, and I know this idea of chosen and election has been manipulated, has been distorted, but God chose to receive all of those who would be in Christ. God chose a class of people, the people who would accept Christ. John says in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, he would let us know that those who would receive him would have the ability to become the sons of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We have been chosen because God saw our condition, sent Christ down. He said, those who would accept Christ will be mine. And I'm so thankful that God sent Jesus so that we could be his. And then what he says, I've chosen you from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I chose you, but I have a purpose in choosing you. I want to see that you are holy and blameless for me in love. Not to prove yourself, but to show how much you love me, that you cast aside everything that would infringe upon our relationship. Then he says, not only have I chosen you, but I have predestinated. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He predestined us. And that word means to set boundaries in advance. God put boundaries and put those boundaries in place that for the group that he would adopt. In other words, those in Christ will be his group. And I know Calvinism teaches that God went by and hand-selected everybody who would be saved and those who would be lost, but they don't understand that God has given every man free will, and every person has the ability to choose whether or not he is going to follow God. Otherwise, Jesus would not have told them in Luke 13, 3, 5, I tell you nay, except you repent. If they could not repent, why would he tell them that they could repent? So we need to understand is that we have been predestinated by Christ Jesus. So those who are in Christ Jesus are those who have been predestined. And he has given us the ability to choose whether or not we will accept Christ. And he also says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, watch now, according to his good pleasure. In other words, God was not forced in doing what he did. He did it out of his good pleasure. He was glad to accept us. He was glad to adopt us. I go to Chick-fil-A, and the reason why I go there is because they got good chicken. But they also have good service. And every time they give you something, they tell you, it's my pleasure. And I said, now, it's a fast food restaurant. And when I see all those people in the line to get that good chicken, I realize it's also because they have the good service. And to hear somebody serve you and then tell you, it's my pleasure to serve you, does something to my heart and my spirit. And that's basically what God did when he chose us and predestinated us. He said, it's my pleasure. And now how can you reject somebody who served you when you were in your trespasses and when we were in our trespasses and sins and said, I'm going to do it for you and it's my pleasure? That's a good God. We don't know how blessed we are that God would do that according to his good pleasure. Then he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Christ, God used Christ to redeem us. To redeem was to pay the necessary price, to set free a prisoner or a captive or a debtor that was sold into slavery. And whether you believe it or not, we were the slaves of sin. And the rightful consequences for our sins was the death penalty. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, everlasting life through Jesus Christ. The price to rescue us was the precious, innocent blood of Jesus. And God gave that to us. Watch now, according to the riches of his grace. In other words, he has such a great supply of grace that out of the riches of his grace, he gave us his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, we ought to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits because of what Jesus has done for us. He redeemed us. Then not only did he redeem us, watch now. He lavished upon us, having made to us wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He hath abounded to us, toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And I just believe that God knew how messed up we were. He knew that we would come to him and get it right and then mess it up and then go back and he knew it. And the wisdom, he said, I'm going to make a plan that whatever they come back to me, I got them. I'm trying to tell you, God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The angels long to see what God was doing in the redemption and the salvation of man. But he has made it known to us. The angels did not know what was going on, but God has made it known to us, the good pleasure of his will. And in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. He made a plan to bring us all together in one. And then he says, now we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He's given us an inheritance. You might never have one in this life. But thank God that God has prepared something for his people. He has given us an inheritance. And rather than fight about what you get in this world, we need to make sure we're focusing on those spiritual blessings that he has given to all of us that we all share in. You know, the rich young ruler, you remember him, he came to Jesus, wanted to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. And he looked good because he was rich. In other words, you know, when you have a little money, you look good to the outside world. And I'm pretty sure his presentation of himself was one that showed that socially he had it together. When Jesus asked him about the commandments, he rattled them off. He said, oh yes, I know those. I've kept them from my youth up. What is it that I'm lacking? And I just want you to see that Jesus told him in Mark chapter 10, he says, go one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, he already had treasure on the earth. He came to Jesus with the question of how might I have treasure in heaven? He had all the material blessings there were. He knew the commandments, but now he is called to make an exchange with his physical possessions, with heavenly treasure. He was not able to make the transaction. And the reason why is because he had great possessions. You mean to tell me well-educated, socially accomplished, financially secure man would keep his physical blessings over spiritual blessings? That's what we would all do. If we would really be honest, because all of this that I talked about is theoretical. It sounds good. Yes, we've been redeemed. Yes. And it's theoretical. It sounds good to the mind. We'll walk around and say, yes, I got all the spiritual. I'm too blessed to be stressed as long as it is theoretical. As long as I can read it. But Paul wanted them, in this book, he divides it between doctrine and practical. And in the first three chapters are doctrine. In other words, that's the theory. He didn't want us to stay in theory. He wanted us to move to practicing. So now, as long as these spiritual blessings remain in this book. But if I don't move and base my life upon the spiritual blessings, then we really don't enjoy them. See, he wants us to base the way we interact based upon the fact. Because we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians. He starts talking about walking in love. But before you can walk in love, you got to know that you have some spiritual blessings. See, because I to be honest with you, I don't always want to walk in love with some of us. Am I right about it?
Right. Yeah.
It takes some effort.
Yes, it does.
Takes some effort. But if we don't have in our mind and in our hearts that there is more to life. And I want to say this, but I don't want to say it. There's more to life than the paycheck that's directly deposited in your account.
Amen.
That's what God was trying to get us. That's what Jesus was trying to get us to see. You need to make my blessings a priority. And then what you do is then you adapt your life to the spiritual blessings. But I'm just afraid that if we don't get more, we don't think we've been blessed.
Come on now.
Did not Paul say godliness with contentment is great gain? I'm just afraid we don't know how blessed we are. And we've got to get out of this mindset that God owes us something.
Amen. Amen.
That we are the greatest gift to the church.
Amen.
We all have the same spiritual blessings. And when I look at you, I got to see a blessed individual. When I got to treat you like you are blessed. You got to treat me like I'm blessed. We got the same, now we might not live on the same streets and in the same zip code, but that is not what brings us together.
Amen.
Because we all share in these spiritual blessings. If you want to share in blessings like that, the only way you can do it is you got to be in Christ. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He said, that's a guarantee. That's my down payment that you belong to me. We could ever get in our minds to treasure and value these spiritual blessings over our physical. I know I'm going to be a better man, better husband, better father, better brother, better preacher, when I start valuing those spiritual blessings. If you're not in Christ, you don't have access to these spiritual blessings. But here's the good thing. God wants you to have them. So he sent Jesus down so that you might have them. Gave his life that you might have a relationship with him. I told you about the miser, but let me, there's one more I wanted to tell you about. There was a man who had a farm, and he lived on that farm all of his life, poor. And when he died, they discovered that there was oil on the property. He's living on a property that has oil under the ground. If he had ever discovered that, he would have been rich beyond his wildest dream. And all I'm saying to you who are not Christians, you own fertile ground. When you come into the house of God, there is so much potential in here, but some of us just don't know that the life that God has prepared for you is one that has spiritual riches.
Amen.
For us to enjoy. If you're here, you're not a child of God, I beg and plead with you that you give your life to Jesus Christ. Come to him. Come down these aisles with a repentant heart. And we'll take your confession tonight, baptize you tonight for the remission of your sins. And you can have this new relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll, God the Father, God the Son, comes down to you, sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee that when this life is over, God knows where you are. He knows who you are. You're here, you're a Christian, you haven't been living according to God's will. These spiritual blessings haven't meant anything to you. Have a change of mind, a change of heart that leads to your change of action. Won't you do that tonight as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation?
Number 889. Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burdens you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend. Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, oh pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who is your call for comfort when naught but sorrow you fear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end?